Hi, it's Aaliyah. So we've got a pretty weird episode for you, but before that, I just wanted to say a couple of things. I've got a bit of a confession. When I was offered the chance to host The Imposter, I wasn't sure I actually wanted to do it. And that's because I'd seen the kind of scrutiny that women in the media, like especially women of color, have to endure. And I wasn't sure I actually wanted to take so much time away from my art practice to really dig into this. I did that thing where you go along with a rigorous interview and audition process just to see what's going to happen. And then when you somehow make it through, you frantically call all of your friends and family members from a bathroom stall in your office to actually figure out what to do. The thing is, we're only 9 episodes in, and the experience of making and hosting the show has already been one of the most challenging and rewarding things I've ever done. In just 9 episodes, we featured an interview with Tanya Tagak like you've never heard her anywhere else. And we also might have introduced you to talented artists that you hadn't heard about before, like Lito Pimienta. We brought you indie feminist video games and a 7-year-old who reviews noise music albums. The whole reason that we can do any of this, the whole reason The Imposter even exists, is because of our Patreon supporters. Like, the show would not have happened if it wasn't for the support of Candlelands listeners. And I'm not going to lie, the show's a lot harder to make than we thought. And it's even harder because we're running on a shoestring. So I'm going to ask you, if this show is vital to you, if it's entertaining, if it introduces you to artists that you would have never heard about otherwise, or if it gives you a new appreciation for the artists you already know, please consider supporting us. We want to do even more with this show. One of the things we want to do is take The Imposter on the road so that we can feature live interviews with artists across this country. If you go to patreon.com/candleland right now and support us for as little as $1 a month, you can help us do that. One of the things people have been telling us is that they love the music on The Imposter. And that's why, if you support us right now, you can get an Imposter mixtape featuring some of our favorite tunes, all by Canadian artists that we think you need to hear. We're only going to do this crowdfunder once a year. So after this month, we're not going to bother you again, except for this tiny message that we do at the end of every show. But what that means is that we really need your support right now. If you've been thinking about supporting us, now is the time to do that. You can do that at patreon.com/CanadaLand. From Canada Land, this is The Imposter. And I'm Aaliyah Pavani. On this episode,
now he's just like flapping in the wind and loving it.
It was all just corporate crap.
All I'm saying here is that Jonathan Goldstein is widely loathed.
So, Jonathan Goldstein, you were the host of the CBC comedy show Wiretap, and it recently ended after 11 years on the air.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, that wasn't meant to make you feel bad.
It's my métier, feeling bad. It puts me at my ease, so bring it on.
Okay, so I wanted to know what it actually felt like. Like, what did the morning after feel like?
A mix of feelings, I guess. You know, it's funny, like, time is so relative, because those 11 years just sort of felt... As you get older, and you've probably heard this, that like you start to count the years as decades. Like 10 years almost feels like a year somehow. Like the stuff in your new music collection is like stuff that's really like 15 years old. And like the good new underwear that you're saving in the back of your drawer you bought like 8 years ago, you know. Maybe that's just me. But I remember when I left This American Life, where I was a producer, and I had only been there 2 years, but it felt like so long because I think it was the longest I'd ever been at a job. And I went out and bought, in retrospect, it didn't show much foresight, but I thought I was retired. And I remember going to a Target and buying all of these tracksuits and stuff. And I thought this would be my new thing. I would dress kind of like Run DMC, except without the necklaces and the hats, but the black tracksuits. And I felt this kind of relief and freedom. And I think I felt a little bit like that after Wiretap, too, because it was always on my mind, constantly. Like, it was a seasonal show. I was only employed for like 10 months out of the year. But even during the summer months, I was always just constantly carrying around a notebook and constantly putting down ideas and always thinking about it. So it felt like putting down a burden.
So,
but it also just felt, it feels weird to not be on the radio also. It makes you feel a little, or it makes me feel like, at first anyhow, sort of like a hologram or something, like I didn't exist in quite the same way. And I talked to my friends less on the telephone. And I talked to my parents less on the telephone because of it.
Did they notice this change because you weren't trying to turn your life into segments of the show, that like your communication dropped off a little? Or
I wonder. I mean, I don't. What's wonderful is to and one of the things that I discovered was that it's so hard for people to just sound like themselves. Even though I would tell them that I was recording, it's like, I don't know, the part of their brain that's able to understand the idea of being recorded just kind of didn't work or didn't mean anything to them. Like, we'd have ridiculous conversations where I'd be asking them, like, about, you know, what animal they'd want to be. And at the end, I'd say, oh, this was great. You'll be able to hear it on the radio on the weekend. And they would say, you were recording this? And I'd be like, why would a full-grown man be calling his parents to talk about, like, what animal they'd want to be? You know what I mean? If there wasn't some kind of secret agenda. But, yeah.
Do you think they don't understand, or that just a part of them doesn't really give a shit anymore? It's like when, like, elderly men at the cottage, like, just kind of let their junk hang out of their swimsuit.
Yeah. My dad was a very private man. And then he's now in his early 80s. But I think, like, he hit a point probably once he hit 70 where he kind of just didn't care anymore. And that was a nice thing to see and was instructive too. Yeah, I didn't like putting his personal junk out there, but now he's just like flapping in the wind and loving it.
Hello?
Yeah, I'd like to speak to Jonathan.
Yes.
Jonathan, this is Rap Master Maurice.
No, you're kidding me.
I'm absolutely not kidding you. Word around town is you betrayed your Canadian radio fans and your co-workers at the CBC. They're really hurt by your decision. They're not sure what exactly they should do. So I made a rap about it.
Oh, God.
Well, my name's Maurice, and I'm here to say that your behavior's disappointing in a major way. Now, I have heard, and I'm sure it's true, someone's forgetting their roots, and that someone is you. Now, Wiretap is a part of who you are today, and Canada also helps, I think it's safe to say. But you betrayed them both by moving back to the States. Ending up in that country sounds like the worst of fates. It's just so typical, is what this rap is about, that you got a taste of fame and then you sold right out. I can't believe you killed Wiretap just to hang out with Moby and RuPaul. Peace.
No peace.
Sounds like you're stunned into silence.
I am.
The radio guy ain't got nothing to say this time.
I don't. You just killed me softly with your song. Not even so softly.
It's not too late to change your mind. Move on back.
Really?
Yeah, find yourself on Speaker's Corner one day. Speak your mind. Oh.
You mean Speaker's Corner will still have me?
Absolutely! Canada loves you!
Oh, well, that's nice. I'm feeling really conflicted about my... I always feel kind of conflicted about my choices, but right now I'm feeling really conflicted.
Or at least you know people care.
I guess so. It would just be nicer, though, I think, to hear it, like, if it wasn't being, like, rapped at me. If it was just, like, people really care.
Well, maybe this is a good way to get the point across. Maybe they feel like you weren't listening before.
Well, thank you, Rap Master Maurice. It's been a really long while. Do you remember being on my show?
Of course. That was a big part of my career skyrocket.
Oh, man, really?
Absolutely.
I'm glad. People loved you.
I have to say, I really appreciate what you did for the Rap Master.
Sure. And then, so after that, where did you go on to? Did you stay on Canadian radio shows?
I did, yeah. I went a little farther up north. Got all the way up there, did some homesteading reps.
But then did you move on to America?
I tried. Didn't work out.
No. Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me anything you want.
Because I know you don't work for free, right?
I absolutely do not.
Are you permitted to say who commissioned you?
I think you'll find out soon enough.
So, Goldie, can I call you Goldie?
Mm-hmm.
Goldie, I just wanted to get back to your new podcast, Heavyweight. So, this show, you're described as a therapist with a time machine. But really, it's kind of a show about regret. And
I once went to Israel.
Okay.
And I'm kind of a nervous type, and I'm not a good traveler. But I met this woman who I dated while I was in Israel, who... Uh-huh. was even more nervous than I was, and it brought out wonderful qualities in me. It really emboldened me, because I'm usually the most nervous person in any pair, you know, among all my mm-hmm. friends and stuff like that. So to have been, you know, paired with someone who was worse than I was really brought out wonderful qualities.
Okay.
I had a friend who had this theory about, you know, the that cartoon Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah.
He had this theory about how in every relationship, one person was the Ren and one person was the Stimpy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends who are definitely the Stimpy in most situations, but they have their own... Like, I have... Like, my friend Howard is kind of like the Stimpy to my Ren and the Stimpy to most people's Ren. But then he has another friend who's, like, out-Stimpies him. Like, he puts Howard in the Ren seat, and I just love being together with them for that reason.
Hello, everybody. My name is Howard Chakwitz. I'm a cartoonist and musician. Some of you might know me from being on Wiretap with Jonathan Goldstein on CBC. I'm here to speak in defense of the great Canadian animator John Crisfalusi, probably the most important cartoonist of the late 20th century. And a lot of you people don't even know who he is, and that's what makes me so sad. You'll know who Seth MacFarlane is, the guy who created the horrible, abominable Family Guy, but you won't know who John Kay is. John Crisfalusi, not single-handedly, but really, really, is the main person responsible for all the wonderful animation that you all see today on television and movies, not just for adults, but for kids too. So Family Guy, Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, all this stuff that you all like. You can thank John Crisfalusi for that. Why? Because he's the creator of Ren and Stimpy. Before Ren and Stimpy, animated cartoons on TV, it was all just corporate crap. You'd see He-Man and Transformers and G.I. Joe and Strawberry Shortcake. When John Kay created Ren and Stimpy, all the great craftsmanship, the artistry of animation was brought back. Beautiful back painting, creative characters, actual characters, not based on a toy, not based on something to sell to your children, but real characters to make you laugh, exaggerated faces, movement, actual animation in the animation. This is what John Crisfalusi brought back to cartoons for us. John Crisfalusi, the creator of Ren and Stimpy, was fired by Nickelodeon Studios over creative differences. There's other little things too, but that's not important. And not only did they fire him, but they kept the product and butchered it. And everyone knows that after John Kay was gone, Ren Stimpy sucked crap, and that was it. End of story. John Kay is known for so many other things. Ripping Friends, George Licker. I mean, he's actually one of the main people that started kind of web cartoons. So this guy's a maverick. This guy was a visionary. This guy's a true artist. He brought creativity back into animation. And how was he rewarded? He has to do crowdfunding to try to get some money just so he can make any kind of cartoon project he's working on. He struggles, right? This is a great Canadian animator, maybe one of the most important people in animation history, certainly in the late 20th century, and yet he has to struggle to get something made while we can watch crap like Family Guy and American Dad. So fuck Family Guy, John Crisfalusi forever, everybody.
So you're in New York now working for Gimlet, yeah?
Gimlet, yeah, Gimlet Media. Or as we like to call it in Canada, Gimlet.
Oh, dad joke. Are you the resident office dad at Gimlet?
I am feeling that right now. Yeah, I am probably the oldest person here. And it's sort of, it is kind of like the Ren and Stimpy thing where you have to just decide, okay, I'm going to be an older person, or I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to make that switch. And there's a certain kind of authority that comes with being young in a weird way. And then you have to kind of let that go and renegotiate it and then be like the old guy. Like Chris Rock's got that routine about the old guy in the club. And I feel like I'm too old to even be the old guy in the club at this club that I'm working at, you know?
I mean, I feel like in media, the club itself would be called the old guy, but I hear you.
Oh, God. I already feel like I was saying the other day that I feel like my show should be under an imprint of Gimlet called Gimlet Gray, like for that coveted septuagenarian, octogenarian market. Like, at what point do jokes become dad jokes? And I feel like I've walked through that nexus.
So when you were making Wiretap, did you notice a kind of change in the medium?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like in the beginning, the landscape was different, where the idea, you turned on the radio and you expected that what you were hearing was the news or something that had social value, or you could take it at face value. There wasn't a lot of irony or fiction. And then I think people initially found that unsettling. And then after that, they came to expect it so that when there were things that were real on the show, people thought that they were fake. It was problematic.
Wait, hold on. Is this fake right now? Are you being Jonathan or Wiretap Jonathan right now?
It's a tightrope walk. But, you know, because I am talking to you from a studio and I have headphones on and I'm talking into a microphone, there's some slippage. But I think that Jonathan on Wiretap is still me. Normally I'm like 40% sad sack. Maybe on Wiretap I was skewing more towards 70% sad sack.
All right, well, let's move on to your new show, Heavyweight. Are you ready to talk about that now?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Whether or not you're a visual learner, you cannot tell me that you like filling out digital form fields. FreshBooks knows that the easiest way to get people to fill out a digital invoice is to make it look like a physical paper invoice that you type onto directly. And they make other functions that look and feel real too. With the new FreshBooks, you can track expenses with these color-coded boxes that actually look like receipts because they have little rippy lines on the bottom. There's also a box with a paperclip on it where you can upload a picture of your receipt, inviting it into a digital realm where it is no longer tethered to the unpredictability of your workstation. It's like a virtual reality game for your receipts. The all-new FreshBooks makes ridiculously easy accounting software that's completely transformed how freelancers and small business owners deal with their day-to-day paperwork. And because of their intuitively visual interface, it took me less than 5 minutes to figure out how to use it. You can get a free, unrestricted 30-day trial by going to freshbooks.com/imposter and entering the imposter in the How Did You Hear About Us section so that they know that you know what's good. That's freshbooks.com/imposter.
You cut out a little bit. Did you just ask me if I remember a bad email that I received?
No, I was actually asking.
It's funny. You know what I should do is I can probably look through my email because the really mean ones I would send to my friend Josh, who was also on the show, just because they would make him so happy.
Okay, Jonathan.
They want me to like feel bad, right? You know what I did find was oftentimes when someone sent you something that was critical. In the beginning, I had more patience for this. I would respond, I would send back an email and I would say, well, why did you feel that way? Was it this particular thing or, and I would never hear back. I think a lot of times people just want to fire something off.
Right.
They want to get a shot in and that's about it. Let me just see here. I wonder how I would even begin to search on this. I would have to look up maybe the word hate.
We're at the half hour mark, Jonathan.
Let me just try tax dollars. You know, I may have to check an older account.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Okay, wait. What a colossal waste of airtime to put this junk on the air. Who cares about this jerk and his pathetic life? Not me or anybody I know. How on earth did this crap ever get onto the CBC lineup anyway? You really need to fire anyone responsible for this garbage. I hate to say anything would be better, but this is just about a true statement. Are tax dollars paying for this? I've regularly, over the last year or more, been upset at this wasted half hour. Welcome to broadcasting.
Hi, I'm Joshua Carpatti. I'm just some guy on the radio, and I'm here to speak in defense of John Goldstein. Here's the thing. I know a lot of people don't like Jonathan Goldstein. I mean, a lot of people. I can't stress that enough. I mean, sometimes an expression is just tossed off, you know, a lot, right? That could mean, you know, a few people here and there. But in this case, I mean literally, not figuratively, right? A lot of people, you know. And look, there are many, many, many epithets that are thrown his way. I mean, I've heard them all. You know, he's whiny, he's entitled, he's, you know, self-regarding to an almost satanic degree. You know, like Obama, an actual demon from hell. People impugn his character at every turn. You should actually read the mail that Goldstein used to get at the CBC. People used to say shit like, I broke my ankles leaping across the room to turn off the radio when Wiretap came on after that wonderful Stuart McLean. I mean, people really wrote that. That's a real email. I'm actually not making that up. John should track that person down on his new podcast and heal their relationship instead of concerning himself with people tangential to his life like his dad or his uncle or whoever the fuck. Look, all I'm saying here is that Jonathan Goldstein is widely loathed. And why? For what? I'm here to say that it is somewhat, mostly, slightly, a little undeserved for the most part, with caveats. Sure, he's never met a microphone he didn't want to fuck. And he has an obsession with self-revelation that speaks to a gaping chasm in his self-esteem that rivals Donald Trump's and its constant gnawing need for affirmation. But you know what? Call him whatever. A sham, a douche, you know, a wart on our collective consciousness, a shrill harridan of the apocalypse, whatever. But be sure of one thing. Hey, he's not that bad.
In the spirit of Wiretap, we totally doctored that interview with Jonathan Goldstein as a sort of bromage to his former CBC show. Jonathan, if you're listening to this, we're unrepentant. You also heard from Rapmaster Maurice, who will rap at your enemies for only $17. But that's in US dollars, just so you're not surprised. Howard Chakowitz, who is usually the Stimpy to Jonathan's Wren, and Joshua Carpatti, who wanted us to introduce him as an assassin. For some reason. To find out what they're all up to these days, check out the show notes at kennelandshow.com/imp. This episode of The Imposter was produced by Kevin Sexton with assistance from Katie Jensen, and original music is by Nathan Burley. Follow us on Twitter at Impster, that's I-M-P-S-T-R, and I'm on Twitter at Aaliyah Pabani. There are still tickets to our live show Degrassi Land at the Hot Docs Podcast Festival on November 20th, where we'll be doing a live exploration of the global impact of the hit teen show. So go get tickets. To do that, go to hotdocs.ca/podcastfestival. Our crowdfunding site is patreon.com/CanadaLand. If you haven't yet seen the amazing book cover for the Canada Land book, you can check that out there too. If you like what we do, please support us. And now, a little extra.
My name is Billy Mavreas. I'm an artist and a writer. I make comics and visual poetry. and I run a curiosity shop in Montreal called Monastiraki. I'm going to provide a rudimentary how-to in tricking yourself into living in a magical world. Step one, entertain the idea that what you do is somehow meaningful, that your gestures, your words, the debris you leave behind you are actually imbued with meaning, and that other people can get meaning from these things. Step two is entertain the idea that what other people do is also meaningful, so that there's a kind of exchange of meaning. Now, the step three is actually doing meaningful things. So you write a little poem of some kind, you draw a picture, you could photocopy it, you could fold it, and you could leave it on the bus, or perhaps under a windshield of a car you find interesting, or in somebody's mailbox, and you release it into the world with the conviction that it doesn't matter whether it gets picked up or not, or read or not, but that you are contributing meaning, you are flinging something into the ether. So you and your friends have realized that there's a bag of potatoes under your counter, and they've sprouted eyes, and you're not going to eat them. So you take a Sharpie, and you write words on them, and you show them about the neighborhood. Now, it's street art, but it doesn't have to be that. You don't have to get all precious about it. And for God's sakes, don't document this. You just do it, and you release it into the wild, and you see it. And you keep on doing this stuff until you actually live in a magical world.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.